I've been sharing a series on brokenness, and we've had a look about various aspects of brokenness. People have been reporting back to me there's been like a shift in their spirit when it's come to brokenness, and there is no one around who does not experience brokenness. There really isn't. And if you haven't, then you haven't been living, because we naturally struggle with brokenness. Our whole society is broken. Have a look outside. Have a look at our schools. Have a look at our homes. We live in a broken society. So we all face it at some stage, but in God's economy, it's often necessary to allow Him to make changes in your life. You know, in God's economy, He's not letting you suffer for no reason. He's doing it to allow changes in your life, and we'll be talking about that today. So we looked at the first analogy was that we're like pots, that when God makes us as a pot, if He sees a flaw or a problem, He breaks it to rebuild it into something stronger. We looked at the concept of brokenness being like a crucible within which silver is refined. And so He holds it in the hottest part of the flame until He keeps taking the dross and the rubbish off the top. And then He holds it in that part of the flame. And how does He know when it's done? When He sees His own reflection in the silver. That's what it's like. That's what brokenness is like. And we want to look today at brokenness as a positive. So many of us see brokenness as a negative, something that we should endure. But you probably realize many people go through brokenness in their life and they become something greater. But most people go through brokenness and they just fall apart. They just break and nothing is ever rebuilt. So we need to be the ones who are seeing brokenness for what it really is, a pathway provided by God to spiritual maturity. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 4. Have a look at this. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. What Paul lays out there is a pathway. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And we can walk down that pathway towards spiritual maturity. But so many times when it comes to brokenness, we see it, we view it as just negative. And we have blinkers on with regards to God's plan for us. Now, do you know what blinkers are? They're things that are put on a horse like this, these things right here. And what they do is they stop the horse from looking around. So they take all of the horse's side vision out and he only gets to see a little tiny bit straight ahead. The whole idea is we stop any distractions for the horse. But see, for us, blinkers stop us seeing the big picture. We can't see the big picture. We see just a small bit right in front of us. So when we're going through pain, hurt, adversity, when we're going through brokenness, all we see is a small bit. We don't get to see the whole picture that God sees. We miss the big picture that God can see. And look, if you don't believe me, even our speech gives this away. Think about the way our speech refers to different aspects of our life. For example, we talk about a mental or physical problem, we call it a breakdown. If we talk about a relationship collapse, what do we say? We say the two of them what? Broke up. If you talk about a financial loss, if you lose all your money, you have gone broke. See, brokenness, it's all around us, and it's even in our speech. So the question that I have for you this morning is, what kind of barriers are stopping us from seeing brokenness in its true light as the crucible within which God can refine us for future glory and service? Well, part of this is due to the fact that we trust the wrong things, and we really do. You know, in life, you've got to trust somebody or something. Don't believe me? When you got in the car this morning and turned the key, you trusted that engine would kick into life. You didn't realize it, but you trusted that. That seat you're sitting on, you're trusting that it holds you up. Right? So you have to have trust in something at some point in your life. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. And so many times we look at things from our own understanding and we forget the trust in the Lord bit. We just try and figure it out ourselves. Now, as Christians, you and I, we would swear on a stack of Bibles that we are trusting the Lord, wouldn't we? We want to trust the Lord. But very often our actions contradict what our mouths say. See, God's purpose in brokenness is for us to fully trust Him. That's what He's doing it for. Because what we do, intentionally or unintentionally, we allow flaws into the clay. We allow like bubbles and stuff into the clay. And He has to sometimes break that before He can rebuild it and get rid of that impurity. So what kind of things do we trust in that clouds our vision of what brokenness really is? Well, let me give you a few that spring to mind. Number one is wealth. Now, in our society, wealth often brings with it a whole stack of positive things like power and comfort and all those things. You know, I heard what someone once say, you know, money doesn't buy happiness, but you can be miserable in comfort. And that's true. You can, because it doesn't buy happiness. It doesn't buy you no trouble. But you can be miserable in comfort. See, people with money and possessions, even Christians, tend to trust in those things instead of in the Lord Himself. Now, is it wrong to be wealthy? Absolutely not. I believe wealth is a great thing. If you don't believe that, please give me yours. I'll prove it to you. In fact, John Wesley was once accused years ago. They said, "You're taking dirty money, Mr. Wesley. You're taking money from brothel owners and from bar publicans, and you're taking their dirty money." And John Wesley looked at me and said, "Give me as much dirty money as you want, and I'll show you how clean I can make it." Because, see, money's not bad. It's not dirty. It's not evil. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, a famous verse, often misquoted, says this: "For the love of money is the root of all evil." It does not say money is the root of all evil. Because money is not evil. It's just neutral. It's just a bit of paper or plastic these days. We've gone forward, you know. But it doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. So what is evil is not the money itself. It's the spirit behind it. It's the love of that stuff. It's when you put your trust in money instead of putting your trust in the Lord. And wealthy people, it's a really difficult thing to not do that. We need to take our blinkers off and realize that if you have wealth, you are blessed, but wealth can disappear in a heartbeat. How many of you know wealth can disappear in a heartbeat? How many of you have experienced that firsthand? I have. Was it pleasant? No. But, you know, wealth comes and goes. Now, I have an income, as you probably know, I'm an optometrist, and I have an income from optometry, but I stopped going to optometry conferences because I got sick of sitting around. We weren't talking about eyes and vision, we were talking about cars and money and equipment and stuff like that. I'm not interested in talking about that. You know, so all of my peers in optometry, most of them anyway, are more wealthy than me in finances, but I tell you what, I'm more wealthy in spirit than all of them. I really am. That's the important thing. So I have an income in optometry, but I recognize that no matter how good I might think I am or how good my equipment is or how good my diagnostic skills are, ultimately, God is the one who gives me increase. I can have the best gear in the world, the best knowledge in the world, and no one walks through the door. See, ultimately, my income depends on God's. God, as does yours. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18. If you're successful in life and in business, listen to this. Deuteronomy 8, 18. "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to make wealth." It is He who gives you the power to make wealth. So if you have money, great. Use it for God's glory, but never lose sight of the fact that money is not worthy of your trust. God is worthy of your trust. Not money. So that's the first thing. The second thing is image. Now, most of us, believe it or not, we care about our image. How many of you ladies would like a mirror like that? Just putting it out there, right? See, most of us care about our image. Most of us, before we came to church, spent some time in front of the mirror. Some of you spent more time than others in front of the mirror. So, and think about it. We pay good money to have our hair done. Don't we? We care about our appearance. We pay good money for cosmetics. Well, some of us do. I don't. But you probably do, some of you. We pay good money for cosmetic surgery. Again, I don't, but you know. People pay good money to look better. It's all about image. Going to the gym. You'd like to think it's about fitness. It's not. It's about image. You want to look good, guys. You want to look muscly. I gave up long ago in my case. But anyway, you know, it's all about image. And women, you know, they go to so much time and effort with, you know, their appearance. And speaking on behalf of the men in the room, we appreciate it, don't we? We do? Yeah. But beauty fades, folks. Even with lipstick and makeup, beauty fades. Now, I've heard it said any coat of paint on an old barn helps. But at the end of the day, it's still an old barn, okay? You can paint it up however you like. See, this is what image is about. I'm in trouble for that for sure. Proverbs 31 verse 30 says this, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You see, you know, beauty is only skin dope. It is. It only goes that far. And see, I believe I have a beautiful wife and I believe she's beautiful on the outside. But what's more beautiful about her for me is what's on the inside. That's what's beautiful. That's what lasts forever. Your looks will not last forever. Even if you're really good looking and beautiful now, it won't last forever. Beauty fades. But this inner beauty never fades. The third thing is reputation. Many people trust in their reputation. They don't see God's brokenness because they're trusting in their reputation. Might be what your family means. You know, you've got the family reputation. Could be your own success, your own accomplishments. But let me tell you, reputation can be pretty precarious at best. It really can. Now, it's something that we want to attain. Proverbs 21 verse 1 says this, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And I would love to have a great reputation. I'm sure you would as well. Having a good reputation is wonderful. But we should not rely on that. Because I've got to tell you, I've had times in my life when I've had to entrust my reputation to the Lord because someone has been soiling it out there for me. Have you ever experienced that? Someone turns on you, says something bad about you, your reputation is in tatters. If your life is invested in that, if that's the thing that you know, the only thing you see and the thing you're trusting in, your life is in ruins when your reputation goes. But they can do what they like to my reputation if I have my trust in the Lord. So we need to not trust in these things. Now, the fourth thing is talents and gifts. Very often, very gifted people struggle with most with brokenness. They're determined to succeed and they see their talents as a ticket to becoming someone special. But the problem is not having talents. You and I have talents. You have talents. I have talents. You know, we've all got talents. I can sing and sing a bit, play a bit, dance not at all. But it's just a talent. If I put my trust in my talent, then that again is precarious. And sometimes God will use brokenness to snap me out of relying on a talent. Now, as a singer, as you probably know, I've been a singer for 25 years, traveling with Bill Newman. Who's heard of Bill Newman? Who would like to see him preach? Because he's coming in November. Just putting it out there. So that's great to have him here. But I've traveled with him all around the world, and there have been a couple of places I've been to where afterwards I get home and I get nasty letters and emails from people attacking me, accusing me of having no talent, accusing me of being, having no humility and all this sort of stuff. And if my life was invested in my talent, man, my life would be in ruins. But I have to give that to the Lord. Because I can't trust in my talents. Listen, if you've got talent, be wary. Because it's really helpful to not have talent. If you have talent, you tend to trust that instead of trusting the Lord. This is what God says about our workmanship, our works, right? Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, all of this talented stuff that you have, that's wonderful, but don't trust in it because the opportunities are there in the hands of the Lord. He's preparing that for you. You just get the cool, privilege of being able to steward some of your talents and skills. Can I tell you, I've looked at this every which way and I've come to a shocking conclusion that will offend some of you. I believe that ultimately, you and I, we are all control freaks. I'm sorry. But think about it. Without a doubt, you and I are control freaks. We would rather rely on ourselves and our own abilities and efforts rather than on God. Even as Christians, we tend to say to God, God, I'm going to yield all of my life to you, except that bit. Because this bit's really important to me, and I want to, you know, let me manage this bit right here, but everything else I give to you, Lord. And that's not really yielding. Because you're not giving him all, you're giving him all minus that bit. You see, if you're 99% honest, you're dishonest. Think about it. And so often as Christians, we do this. Lord, I give you everything except that bit. So then we take that bit and we control it ourselves because we are at heart control freaks. We want to control our own lives. And we take that bit and we control it ourselves. And then here's the funny thing. When it all goes wrong, we blame God. It's like, God, Lord, I give you everything except this bit. I'm going to do this bit. Then it all goes wrong. What did you do that for, God? You don't believe me? Proverbs 19, verse 3. Listen to this. When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord. It does. How many people do you know that have made stupid decisions and then blame God for the consequences? You look at our whole culture, we got this down to an art form. No one takes responsibility for anything. I've said it before, it's been that way since time immemorial. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the snake. Snake didn't have a leg to stand on. You know, we've said this before. We blame everybody else. We don't take responsibility for it. So we do God's job for him, then we blame him if it doesn't work out. The biggest blinkers we wear is our own inbuilt need to control our own lives. And the only way that God can remove these blinkers is to break us in some way, as painful as that might be. Have you ever seen a child with a favorite toy? Look, the child's crying already, right on cue. A child with a favorite toy. You know, they've got this little sort of, you know, furry thing. Have you tried taking that toy away from them? What do they do? I'll just take that off you. No, you won't. That's exactly what they say. They grasp it, don't they? And we are no better, folks. We've got, Lord, I give you everything except my favorite bit here. Oh, says to the Lord, let me take that as well. No, you don't. Get your hands off this. Our natural tendency when God begins to target an area to break in our lives is to cling to that area even more. Now, generally speaking, most of us know what it is we have to yield to God. If you were to sit and look at your life, you'd probably figure out areas of your life that you need to yield to the Lord. And whether we're conscious of it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, we all know that there are parts of your life and my life that we withhold from God. We reason it away. We say, oh, well, that's okay. God's not interested in this bit. Lord, I give you everything, but I know you're not really interested in this bit. You know what? He's most interested in this bit because that's the bit you're clinging to. And so all of us deep down, we kind of want to control all of that stuff. Now, I remember having a conversation with my wife, Fiona, and she was relating how she dealt with a situation in her life. Let me share it with you. God had asked her at the time, for a time, to give up chocolate. Now, some of you here don't believe that's the word of the Lord, okay? That's okay. But she was specifically, God put his finger, he said, I want you to give up chocolate. And she fought him and she reasoned it away and she said, you know, God would never ask anybody to give up chocolate. God, you think, amen. God gave us chocolate for our joy. You know, but God said, no, that's controlling your life. You know, she had a family block a day habit. Is that all? God bless. Good to have you back, Scotty. It really is. But she came to the Lord and she, after a while, she said, God, it's only chocolate. It's not a big deal. And God spoke very clearly to her and he said, if it's not a big deal, why won't you give it up? You see, it was a big deal. So today, I believe God is going to ask you to yield that area. You know that area? You know the one in your life that you love to hold on to? You know the one in your life you say, Lord, I give you everything except this bit. Just let me control this bit. I believe today God's going to ask us to yield that up to him, because he wants people who are whole vessels, totally yielded to him. James 2 verse 17 says this. Faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. Is James saying you're saved by works? Not a chance. You are saved by faith. By God's grace and by faith. But what he's saying is, if you actually are saved, let your works know about it. Your works should reflect what's happened in your heart. And we can make the same appraisal about control in our life. If we say, Lord, I give you control of everything, prove it. Don't just use this, prove it. Do stuff that yields control of your life to him. See, he's not saying you're saved by works. He's saying if you are really saved, let your works demonstrate it. So what is God breaking within you right now? What do you need to yield to him right now? What is it? Your kids? Is it your finances? Is it your car, your house, your home? Is it your parents? What is it that you need to let go of and let God control instead of yourself? Even Jesus. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26. He got on his knees. He knew what needed to be done, but he prayed these very curious words. Listen to what he said. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. See, even Jesus in his darkest hour was tempted to take control back of his life and avoid the pain. But he said, not my will, but yours be done. How could we be any less than that when our Savior went right through this and yielded full control to his Father at that critical time? So you need to understand, we are broken to be better. He's not breaking us to break us. He's breaking us to be better. I once had a horse. I've had several horses, but I once had a horse called Sasha. Sasha was a lovely horse, but she was wild and out of control, and we realized that she needed to be broken. So my dad and I got out on our farm and we spent a lot of time gaining her trust. I put the bit in her mouth and the bridle on her head, put the saddle on. How many of you have done all this? A few of you maybe? And she was really toey. She was just ready to go. And I remember we got to the point, she had the bridle on, she sort of settled a bit. I stood up in the stirrup with my hand on the saddle and on the bridle up here, with the reins, and I just balanced in the stirrup, and she was moving around, man. She was really toey. And I thought, this is going to be ugly. But my dad, God bless him, said, come on, son, throw your leg over. I went, oh, dads know everything. And I thought, I don't know, Dad, she's pretty toey still. He said, come on, son, you'll be right. Anyway, I threw my leg over. As soon as my backside hit the saddle, she bucked like you wouldn't believe. I came straight off the end. I remember sitting underneath, kicking hooves like this over my head, just going like this, and this hooves kicking up over my head. And I thought to myself, I'm going to die. And I didn't die, fortunately. We settled it down. But we persisted. First time on her back, she threw me, way off. But we persisted, and we kept going. And after a while, she was broken in and we were able to actually ride her. See, unbroken, she was useless and she was dangerous. But when she was broken, she was not only useful, she was even happy. She used to, come and nose around, and she loved being loved. See, she initially refused to yield to my will. But when she did, she came around, she became a blessing to herself, a blessing to others, and she was actually more productive and happier than ever before. See, God's not out to break you to hurt you. God's not out to break you to ruin your life or give you a bad experience. He allows brokenness in your life to break your stubbornness, but to keep your spirit. He wants you, like that horse, to be controlled and to be yielding the right fruit. James 1 verses 2 to 4 says this. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops steadfastness, and steadfastness will have its full effect, that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. See, God wants you to be mature and complete and lack nothing. That's why he allows trials and pain and problem and brokenness in your life so that you can become mature and complete. So take the blinkers off today and realize that brokenness is the crucible within which God can refine your life and make you more precious. He can create that masterpiece in you. He longs to take the shattered pieces of your life and put it back together in a way that brings him glory and brings you joy. So today I'm going to ask you to bring the pieces to the Lord. What are the areas of your life that you're still struggling to yield control to the Lord with? I'll tell you, true confessions here. Mine is finance pretty much all the time. I struggle with giving finance to the Lord. Anybody here like that? Am I the only one? Oh, good. I thought I'd be the only one. You know, see, I look at a problem and I add it all up and I look at my finances and I figure out how I can solve that problem with my finances. So I say, God, here's the financial need. Let me do this for you. You're right. Take a seat. I'll handle it from here. Thank you very much. And I solve my own problem. And I worry about my own problem. I stay up late at night. I lose sleep worrying. Does anybody here do that? Worry is because I can't control it, but I want to control it. Worry is like a rocking horse. It keeps your mind occupied, but you don't actually get anywhere. Just back and forward, back and forward. Look at me, you know? And so finances for me is an area I have to yield to the Lord, especially when it comes to the church. We're talking about going to a new building. It is financially beyond us. But I feel, and many of you feel, that God wants us there. I can't solve that problem. I don't have enough money to solve that problem. I talked to a pastor yesterday at a wedding who has one person who's giving millions of dollars and funding their building program. I said, give him my number. But it's not true. You know, he's got that blessing. I don't have that blessing. But I'm going to trust God. I don't want to trust man. Because God holds our future, not man. You know, that's a blessing to them. That's how God's providing for them. But God's got something special for us. Don't you think that? So even as we look at our future, I have to give the finances to the Lord and not solve them myself. And that's what it's about, losing control, giving control to the Lord. Let me wrap it up with this. Kintsugi is an ancient Japanese art of repairing broken bowls, using a special lacquer that is laden with gold, real gold. This repair method celebrates the artifact's unique history by emphasizing the fractures and breaks instead of trying to hide or disguise them. The result is that the repaired piece is even more beautiful and valuable than the original and revitalized with new life. You see, God, his reason for allowing brokenness in your life is not to destroy you, not to harm you. He longs to take the shattered pieces of your life and put you together with gold so that the end result is more valuable and beautiful than anything that went before. God can do this. That's what God is about. And I love that. It emphasizes the brokenness. It doesn't cover it over. It's not like super glue. It makes a big thing out of the brokenness, but the end result is so amazing and unique and incredible. You see, your life, wherever you are at with the Lord, has been shattered at some point, and you'll have pieces, you'll have brokenness in your life. Even now, there are areas you're trying to control, and God is saying, give me those pieces and let me build something more beautiful. You see, he can't do this if you hold on to the pieces. He can't take those pieces and make them into this sort of quality of bowl if you don't give the pieces to him. So you need to give them to him this morning. Today is the day for you to yield everything to him, to take those broken pieces of your life and allow God to repair it to make something more beautiful and more valuable than anything that has gone before. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says this, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Did you know that? He's made everything beautiful, including you, in its time. Now, maybe your time's not here yet, but it's coming. God's got beauty in your destiny. Also, he has put eternity in the hearts of man, yet so man cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. You see, you can't see the beginning and the end. Remember, we got blinkers on. We can't see the beginning from the end, but God can. So why should we, who can only see this far, be trusted when he can see all things? Why should we put our own blinkers on and say, I did it my way. What a terrible testimony. Someone told me the other day, they sang that at someone's funeral. Oh, really? My goodness me. Imagine standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What's your testimony? I did it my way. Good on you, Frank. There's the door. You know, it's time for us to stop doing it my way and to let go and let God, because he longs to make something beautiful out of the pieces you give him. So stop trying to control that problem area in your life. This morning, I'm going to ask you to yield that to him. I'm going to ask each and every one of us to do business with God and to yield those broken areas to him and to stop controlling it. Just yield it. Give it to him. Step back and let God be God. Whether it's a child, whether it's a grown-up child, whether it's a home or finances or whatever it is, let go and let God. See, some of you here have specific areas of your life that you've held on to for years. You love God, you've committed your life to him, but there's still areas where you kind of just keep control, where you're too scared to give God full rein. Maybe it's a business. Maybe I don't know what it is in your life, but there's something there. And some of you are squirming because you know what I'm talking about. You're too scared to give God full rein. You're fearful that if you hand it over to him, that he'll take it away. But God didn't give us a spirit of that. He gave us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. You see, control gives birth to fear because you can't control. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, whatever it is in your life, to yield that to him and let him work a miracle. Can you trust God enough to give him the broken pieces of whatever area it is of your life and trust him to build something more beautiful and valuable? Can you? Can you give him the pieces and let him do that? There's an old song we used to sing and I love it. It fits this moment so aptly. Sing it with me. Something beautiful. Come on. Something good. Oh my.
He understood all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life.
So true. This morning, I'm going to ask you to bring those pieces, to lay them at the foot of the Savior and say, Lord, build me one of them. Do it that way. Can you trust him? Would you bow your heads?